Anyway. When we think of life, I hadn't taught a lesson about this in a number of years here, and I think it's a lesson we need to be reminded of. And the reason I do today is because I think more than anything else, you look around the world and we see all these things, and we just get, if we don't watch ourselves, we get overly anxious, we get worried, and it's one of those things we need to be really careful about. God's Word deals with that, and He deals with it very concisely, and we need to be aware of that, and we need to do it. I don't know how many of you, when I was younger, and I know the magazine's been around since the 50s, I'm not sure it still is, so if it's not, it's Mad Magazine, and I would not say I'm recommending Mad Magazine anyway. But when I was younger, it was a magazine that I enjoyed reading and looking at, and mostly the cartoons where I didn't have to do as much reading. But there was a young man that always was on the cover or some way was associated with this. His name was Alfred E. Newman. And it's funny because my brother-in-law and I have commented on this so many times, and he would say, he had this thing underneath, and somewhere along the line he would say, "What? Me weary?" And he didn't do that. He just, you can look at him, and he doesn't look worried at all. He just looks like life is good, and look at that young man. He just absolutely doesn't know about the cares of this world. Unfortunately, we grow up, and then we start caring about the cares of this world, and things start getting to us, and before we know it, we've got to really watch ourselves because we don't understand about what God has planned for us. We talked about this morning, buying back our time, redeeming the time. God has a plan for us. He wants us to work. He wants us to take care of things. He wants us to provide for our needs. But with all that said, all these things He's given us to do, He said, do it trusting in Me. Our problem is we start trusting in self. We start thinking about things and how are we going to accomplish these things. And so what do? Well, we start worrying about things we can't control. We're thinking about all this and we look at life and we go, wow, I mean, if that would just change, if I could get that one thing changed. We concern ourselves about people we love, don't we? We overly concern ourselves. We start thinking about it, and before you know it, it's starting to get us down because things aren't working out the way we want, if we don't watch it. We start thinking about the condition of the world. Someone just mentioned this recently to me, and they just said, look at the way the world is going. What are we going to do about this? Well, maybe we'll learn what we need to do about that. And we even concern ourselves about things we can change. But we'll just sit there letting it go by and not do anything about it. Things we have complete control over. And we talk about that, and we certainly need to make sure that we do those things. And sometimes I would argue we live as if God doesn't even exist. We just think we're going along in life, and that's what I would argue most people do. We show that we don't believe in Him. We show we don't trust Him by the way we live. And I will tell you, it doesn't matter whether you believe in God's Word or not. As we learn from Ecclesiastes, life under the sun, stress and worry causes physical, and I put spiritual, problems as well. They don't necessarily study those, but I will tell you that it is clear. It causes a great spiritual problem in the Lord's church. God does not want us to worry. Well, Abe, you've got to be kidding. I mean, look at all the things. Look at what's going on. Well, this is the way Paul looked at in Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everything and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if we looked at the world, and we look at life under the sun, it's true. Regardless of where you believe in God's Word or not, that's true. It's the ups and downs of life. It happens to everyone. There are things in life that are going to happen to each and every one of us. And Ecclesiastes 2 certainly lists those things, and they're going to happen. But I would argue that it is unnecessary to worry. Now you'll say, do you follow all this? I'll talk about that. Matthew 6:25, therefore I say to you. Now, therefore, read above it. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the lesson. The therefore is saying, as a result of what I've just talked about, do not worry about your life. But I have to. I live it here. God, don't you understand? Christ said, don't do it. Just don't do it. This is not a matter of He's suggesting that. He's saying, don't do it. It will do you absolutely no good. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? You mean I don't even have to concern myself about eating and stuff? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about being anxious about it, overly anxious, wondering if I'm going to have something. Don't do that. Paul said, "Don't." I did it. There's times I didn't have all I wanted. There's times I've had more than I needed. Just put it in context and live your life. He's given us a body with life. That's what he's trying to tell us. If I can give that to you freely, then I can take care of it for you. Well, but are you really going to, God? Well, amazing. We read this actually, Mike read it in our class this morning. He tells us to ask and he will give. Ask and it will be. And people argue about this all the time with God. They will say, well, maybe he will. Maybe he won't. I don't know if he will or not. He might not answer that. What am I going to do? This is a direct statement. Ask and it shall be given to you. How? Well, it may not be the way that I personally think I need it, but he's going to answer my prayer. And you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks, part of the people who ask, none of the people who ask receives. Is that what he said? He said, everyone who asks receives. Now, he's obviously talking, I have to ask according to what he has written in his will. I can't ask for things he has not authorized me to ask for. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? He's saying, you can see this, and again, in life under the sun, can't you? Can't you see this, he said? Mike, Roger, Brad, Cody, and soon to be Kyle and Jenna, and all the wives of those men. But this happens to be talking about a father. If your son asks for something, are you going to give him stone instead of bread? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent? If you then, and he's not talking about being evil in the sense of, he's talking about the way we've studied in the book of Ecclesiastes. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? But we don't ask. We worry. We concern ourselves. Take care of us. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him. Now, I really need to bear this myself. I don't need God's help. That's not what He said. Just give Him all of it. He didn't say part of it. He didn't say a little bit. He said give it all, for He cares for you. He will not forsake His people. This is a quote from the Old Testament. A couple different places in the Old Testament, this almost exact quote is there. And it's a quote. Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct... Now this is the key. Let your conduct be without covetousness. I don't need to seek after things I don't need. I don't need to desire things that don't belong to me. Be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Read the context around that. But in this particular verse, He's letting us know that what we need to do is live our lives correctly. He'll stay with us. I need to make sure of that. You see, God gave us a body and life is more than all of these physical things we overly concern ourselves about. Those things are going away. Glendon said it in class this morning. He said time is beginning to be more and more precious as far as life on this earth. He understands that better and better. When I was little, I was thinking, wow, I will never ever get to be 10 years old. I will never ever get to get my driver's license at 15 and a half or whatever it was. I will never get to be out of high school. I will never be out of college. On and on and on. Then one day I wake up and it's been many, many years. So why do I concern myself with all this physical stuff? Overly. It is not consistent with nature, he says in Matthew 6:26. You look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Jesus said, see, don't do it. Look around it. Again, life under the sun. You see a bird out there going, oh man, I wonder if I'm ever going to get another worm for my babies. They don't do that. They just take care of things. They're programmed. And they just do it over and over and over again. For they neither sow... There's not a bird out there. I will say this. They do some sowing, actually, but not in the context he's talking about. Things you don't even want. Nor reap, nor gather into barns. In other words, they're not storing things. They're not thinking this through. They're not coming along and going, hey, if I pick up certain seeds, things will work out well for other people or not work out well for them. They don't think that way. They don't think in terms of, I need to make sure that I get some seeds out there so things will grow. We can look at it and we can know that. Yet, your Heavenly Father feeds them. Why? Because they just are programmed to do this. He said, look at nature. They don't do that. Are you not of more value than they? It's not consistent. God's creation is a powerful teacher if we look at it. We look at creation, what do we see in Romans 1:20? For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. The order of the universe, the order of everything, how it stays in motion, how it all works consistently all the time. We don't have to concern ourselves about time or all of these things because it works. We don't have to concern ourselves wondering, oh, if the sun gets a little closer to us, we may burn up. God takes care of all those things, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Nature. Creation. God is always taking care of it. And David would say in Psalm 145, 15 and 16, the eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. He's letting us know. You're not going to have it. Except for the fact that God's very gracious. He does cause it to rain on the just and the unjust. In 147, 7 through 9, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. Who covers the heavens with clouds, he would say to those Jews. Who prepares rain for the earth. Who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and the young ravens that cry. God said that even the Athenian poets understood this. He's preaching to them in Acts 17 and he's going through this lesson and he said to that unknown God, but he said, let me tell you something about that in 26 through 29. He has made from one blood every nation of men dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. God did all of this. He limits what we can do and what we can't do. We may think we can do things that He will not allow us to do in the sense of getting out of our pre-appointed places, but it's true, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our very being or our being, as also some of your poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Even they had sought out God, didn't know fully what they were seeking out, but they did. And Christ still upholds that creation today. In Hebrews 1:1-3, God, who at various times in various ways spoke in times past and the fathers by or through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us through or by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. And that goes back to it. If He created them, can He still take care of them? Well, who being the brightness of His glory and express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power. He has not quit. He hasn't just let things go. He's still doing it when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Why do we worry when each day God through His creation shows His great power? When we look around and see Him in everything, why worry? It's not reasonable to worry. It just makes absolutely no sense to worry because it will do no good. I've already pointed out not one thing about that will do a thing. Which of you, in Matthew 6:27, by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Or, as other versions will say, which one of you being anxious can add one cubit unto the measure of his life? Or, which one of you being anxious can add one cubit to his span of life? So, regardless of where he's talking about that or not, in Luke's account, 12:25-26, he adds, and which of you, by worrying, in the New King James Version, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? If you can't even do that, well, why would you concern yourself about other things? Or, again, if you can't add unto your life this little thing, you can't get yourself one more day on your own, then why are you concerning yourself? You can't do it. It's just impossible to do. So, whether adding to our height or adding to our life, we cannot do either. Just can't do it just simply by thinking about it or wanting to do it. We cannot control certain physical things. Therefore, worry is unreasonable. It makes absolutely no sense. So why do we do it? Well, we have all kinds of reasons why we do it. We do it for this reason. We do it for that reason. We do it. Job 34, 12 through 15. Surely God will never do wickedly, nor will the Almighty pervert justice. Who gave him charge over the earth? Who put God in control? Or who appointed him over the whole earth? If he should set his heart on it, if he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. If God chose at this moment, and I've said this before, he can take my breath, he can take my life, he's in control of all of that. He could make it so that you never knew I existed. It's easy. He doesn't need all. We cannot do a thing about those things. Now, I'm not saying he's just going to kill me on the spot or do those things, but he can. Psalm 104, 27 through 30. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created. And you renew the face of the earth. We can easily see, just by looking around, that all these things are true. Whether you believe again, whether I believe God did them or not, still doesn't change the fact that we know these things are true. We should recognize that we cannot change how we're created by worrying. Edith wanted me to cut my hair off this morning and give it to her. I said, well, it ain't going to work because my hair is a different color. She would have to dye it and she'd have to do a lot of things with it. You see, the truth of the matter is, it just doesn't work that way. And I know she was saying it as a joke, but it makes a point about this. It won't change a thing. You just can't do it. We are created by God. And one day, I remember, I looked in the mirror and I thought, this is it. I can't do anything about it. I can't be this other good-looking person or whatever. This is what I've got. I've just got to go with it. And so a decision was made on my part. You know what? If God made me this way, I'm going to be happy with it as best I possibly can and take care of it the way I should as best I possibly can. We should learn to be happy with who we are, rather than concerning ourselves over thinking we can be someone else or do something else, it won't happen. And it's not helpful. I can tell you right now, you can do this all you want to and it will not, again, change a thing. In Matthew 6, 28 through 30a, so why do you worry about clothing? And again, he's not saying you don't get up in the morning and think, I need to put some clothes on, I need to take care of myself, but he's just talking about you're concerned constantly about how you look and how all these outward appearances are. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You mean Solomon couldn't dress himself up, even if he was very worried about it, as good as the lilies of the field? He said, absolutely not. You know why? Solomon determined, or someone else may have determined, maybe one of his thousand wives and concubines, maybe they determined what he wore, but regardless of that, the truth is, who clothed the lilies? God! That's why they're more beautiful. That's why when we look out, we're in awe. That's why we see all that and we go, isn't that beautiful? They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these or clothed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, something that the Bible would tell us is going to be here tomorrow and dead the next day, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? It won't help. Would it help lilies if they worried about being clothed? With the lilies, if they, and I'm telling you, think about this for a moment. A plant doesn't do that. Why do we do it when we have a thought process? A plant doesn't go, I wonder tomorrow if I'm going to look as good as I do today. Without toiling or spinning. That is, they don't have to make clothes. They don't have to go out and purchase clothes. They don't have to wonder, does this look good on me? They just are there. And we all look at them and go, isn't that beautiful? They grow and are beautifully clothed. You see, because they're clothed from within. God did it all for them. Our problem is we're more concerned on the outward appearance than we are on the inward one. Solomon recognized this, and as we look at Ecclesiastes, he's starting to understand that, you know what? Life on the sun is vanity if that's it. You can clothe yourself as best you can, and what do you do tomorrow? I need something better. I need to look better as a king. I need better purple. I need this. I need that. I've got to look good, but not clothed from within. See, if we're clothed from within, people are going to see it like we talked about in Colossians today. And Solomon knew this. I could go back and read several of his Proverbs. I could go back and read Ecclesiastes to you, and you know what conclusion you'd come to? He knew. He knew that he had made mistakes. He knew that all that he had put emphasis on was not worth anything. Now, Esther had some concerns, but Mordecai had the answer. See, Esther was worried in Esther 4:11 through 14, and she made this statement. Mordecai said, you've got to go in and talk to the king. You've got to stand up for your people. And she sent back and she said, well, all the king's servants of the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court of the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. In other words, if I wander in there, I've only got one shot at it, because if he doesn't hold out the golden scepter, I'm dead. You really want me to do that, Mordecai? I'm a little concerned here, you know. I'm overly concerned about this. Well, she said, I haven't even been called in to see the king for 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words, and Mordecai told them to answer Esther this way. Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palaces any more than any of the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Don't worry about it. Just, you know it'll be taken care of. It won't provide anything for us. Not one thing. If she'd have sat back there and just worried about that, she would have never gone in. The Jews wouldn't have been saved by her hand. But she didn't. She took his advice. She went in. In fact, I would argue it's very harmful for us to do this. So, in this first part of this lesson, it's unnecessary. It's not consistent with nature or creation. It's not reasonable. And it's not helpful. So why do it? But I will tell you this. Whether Christian or not, be overly concerned if you've not become a Christian or you've fallen from God. Talking to me, if I have fallen from God today, I need to be overly concerned. I need to not be able to put my head down without thinking I need to make some changes. But you know what the beauty of it is? You can do something about it. You don't have to be. You can remove all sorrow and worry from your heart. If you do that, you can become a Christian. And if I'm faithful, you can make it right with God immediately. You know, the beauty of being a Christian is I can immediately talk to God. I don't have to take anything to bed with me. I can know that He will take care of all my problems and all my sins. And that's what I need taken care of more than any of these other things that we've talked about. We're going to stand and sing a song. And we do this as a custom to help any that would want to become obedient to God's Word. And again, I'll make a statement. If at any time, during any lessons I give, you have a need, just raise your hand. We certainly will stop the lesson at that point, just like they did in Acts 2, and we'll take care of whatever that need is. But this is for convenience sake. We even stand to make it very easy. So if you have any need, would you let us know about it while we stand and sing?